What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome back to episode 147 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for a record-breaking 147th time by the one and the only. Yes, of course, it is the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, this is the best time of the year, in my opinion. We have such good esports happening. We just had the end of Overwatch League. We're now moving into League of Legends Worlds. We have new leagues being announced. The roster mania has begun. And new games getting released this week as well. It feels like this time of the fall, right before the big holiday shopping spree comes along at the end of November, this is the best time for esports and gaming.
Yeah, and like I'm pretty sure by this time next year, because I'm looking that far forward like I always do, we're going to be talking about new consoles coming out also. The PS5 was announced as going to be ready for the 2020 holiday season. So about October timeframe is when we're actually going to get release dates and price points probably. This time of year is always great. Like you said, Joey, a lot of gaming activity during this time of year. So I'm super excited as well. Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast, at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're at it on Twitter, why not give your favorite hosts a follow, or your least favorite hosts? You know, we don't play favorites here. Follow Joey at Courtside King and myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, those are those amazing handles below those horrific mugshots you are currently staring at on Twitch. And if you're listening on the podcast later on down the road of your podcatcher of choice, they'll be on the show notes down below. And Nation, while you're at it, one last request. Why not leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice? English is very difficult today again, Joey. It feels like it's a Monday. The Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify and Stitcher, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews go a long way in helping the show grow and reach new listeners. When you have a moment, we would appreciate you taking a small portion of time out of your day to leave us a review. Nation, League of Legends World 2019 is finally out of the group stage. Let's just say North America forgot to show up. We'll just leave it there. We won't talk anything else about North America. We're not going to talk about it. It was very depressing. But, Joey, the LEC, on the other hand, not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. Nothing but tears of joy coming out from our European friends. But Worlds 2019 just happens to be one of the many topics we're talking on this week, sir. What else are we talking about this week on episode 147?
We have quite a bit, John. Not too much in terms of rosters. There's a lot of roster shifts still going on in Overwatch League and Call of Duty, so we're going to wait till those continue to shake down a bit more. Once the dust settles on those, we will jump straight into that. In other news, though, we do have a big announcement coming out from PUBG as they are canceling revenue sharing. We're probably going to hit on that quite a bit on this episode. And then from there, we're going to move on to a new League of Legends comedy series coming to CBS, Worlds, action at League of Legends, and much, much more.
Joey, it doesn't seem like a lot since we ended up streaming a little bit later in the week last week, but I have a feeling it's going to be another action-packed episode here on the Level Up Podcast, which means I need to become better prepared for these amazing topics, which means it's time for that drink of choice segment, Joey. So I need to know, how are you prepping for this episode with your drink of choice?
I'm not prepping very well, to be honest, Sean. I have not gone shopping for alcohol in, it's been about 2 weeks. I've had some here at bars. You and I had a drink this past weekend, which was great. But in terms of the show, I'm going with another Spindrift, which does not sponsor the podcast yet, and this is grapefruit.
Surprise, you're not drinking a La Croix.
Unlike cucumber, I actually enjoy grapefruit a bit, so this one will be much more enjoyable this time around.
Joey, shout out to Twitch chat. No milk sugar for Joey today, which means no mistakes on his part. We are trying to look at a flawless show for the king of the courtside. Joey, because North America they didn't really show up at Worlds this year.
Oh, no.
And because, you know, Joey, you're a Fnatic fan. Fnatic's my second favorite organization. Cloud9 and Fnatic have this really awkward bromance in the esports scene. I am celebrating, because I believe Fnatic is based out of Berlin. Well, at least their league team is based out of Berlin.
Yeah, league team in Berlin, organization in London.
So this is going to be close enough. I am celebrating our EU overlords with some Jägermeister. Pack of Jägermeister. Back in my college days, this was my go-to. I would drink this straight out of the bottle. So, Joey, it's happening. It's happening right here on Level Up Podcast. Jäger straight from the bottle once again. Joey, but enough of my beverage and lack of your beverage. Joey, it is time to move right into gaming and e-sports news. Let's go!
I'm not going to lie, John. You sold it to me that way. I thought for sure you were going to drink something with a label that said NA Fanboy Tears.
Oh, you know what?
I was waiting for it.
Joey, I'm a little mad you did not bring that up before the show because I would have totally made that prop. I would have totally made that prop and put up NA Fanboy Tears right here. It's bad enough. I was thinking about putting a meme on my Cloud9 flag back here as well. But I'm just too sad. I'm just way too sad with how... Team Liquid was our last hope. And they just kind of...
Meh. Cloud9 was our last hope. Let's get serious.
Let's be real here. It was... Joey, I'm sad. Just talk. It's all you now.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. We'll hit that a lot more later on in the show. But for now, we will jump to C9. They have made some changes to a couple rosters. CSGO kicking us off. They've added Sabrosa and released Tens from their CSGO roster. Over to Fortnite, they've bid farewell to PF Zin and Snow from their Fortnite squad. So Cloud9 making some moves in shooters here. Fortnite, we're seeing a lot of movement right now past the World Championship, World Cup that they just recently had a couple months ago. A lot of roster movement, a lot of free agents being picked up, a lot of trades happening. This is Cloud9 making their moves now. They're deciding to part ways with these two and then also making a CSGO move as well. Anything in addition to that, C9 fanboy over there?
You know, the CSGO team has kind of struggled ever since the Boston Major win. They've had a lot of roster turnover. They haven't been able to find that right chemistry. And I hate to say it, but these roster turnovers, it's not just a Cloud9 thing. It's definitely, I would say it occurs more in CSGO than a lot of other esport titles out there, where roster changes are almost as fluid as everything else in that title. Just constantly happens over and over and over again, trying to find that right mix of players, trying to find that chemistry. Cloud9's been trying to do that ever since that Boston Major. And Joey, like, we're over a year past that. Cloud9 has struggled to remain really competitive after pretty much everyone left for greener pastures from Cloud9, which is weird to say, being the first North American organization to win a major. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. You even have, you know, Stewie moved on from the organization, and from there it's been downhill ever since. Cloud9's really been trying to struggle to remain relevant in CSGO, unlike your Fnatic boys, which seems like no matter who they throw on that roster, just compete at a high level.
Okay, not quite. We've had our downside as well, and in fact, we sent some players to C9 there for a while, and they've come back, it seems, much more mature. So hey, C9's got something besides memes over there going on.
It's been a while.
I hope that was the licorice that got you there.
It was, yeah.
I think good moves overall. And you mentioned it as well. CSGO is one of those scenes that is a bit more fluid than some of the other esports scenes. I think a lot of that comes down to the format as well. When you look at League of Legends, when you look at Dota 2, there's a lot more of a seasonal format going on. You have this going on, which leads into this, and then eventually it culminates in some kind of playoffs or tournament. When you look at CSGO, it's so tournament-based. You have IEM, you have Star Ladder, you have E-League. There's all these different tournament providers, and they're all providing tournaments that run either simultaneously or run right back-to-back with one another. And I think it allows much more room with the different differentiating roster locks for players to change. If you have a terrible event, you say, hey, do we want to try again with this team? Do we want to bring in a new coach? Do we just want to go with what we have and see what happens for another tournament? Or do we want to start making trades? Do we want to move a player out? Do we want to get rid of a player, bring up a young talent? I think there's a lot more flexibility in the way the scene is built for that. In addition to that, with those Cloud9 moves, their boyfriend/girlfriend Fnatic over here in EU, in PUBG Mobile, they're actually jumping into that scene, and they have a team based out of India. More than anything, John, I don't think this is about the PUBG Mobile scene. I think this is about Fnatic getting their feet in India. India is a huge population. Fnatic is already a worldwide brand. Why not jump into another giant population? And I think they do that right here. They have picked up XSpark, so it's a previously made team. It's a team that's competing at a decent level in PUBG Mobile. It includes Oasis, Scout OP, Ronak, and Inyo Dream. I really like that name.
That's a great name. That is a fantastic name.
that's a good one. That's on Cloud9 for sure. But I think this is a really good move in the sense that they're expanding into a new market. I don't think PUBG Mobile in and of itself is the greatest move. If PUBG is doing well in Asia, it's kind of fallen off. It's pretty far behind Fortnite at this point in North America and Europe. But as far as Asian scenes go, I think it does really well. And then you're also expanding into India. India is a giant scene that has not really... it's not really felt the effect of esports, in my opinion, yet. There's been a couple teams that have come out of it, a couple organizations. I think it was Optic. I think Optic had a CSGO team there for a little while, but different organizations have tried to go in and haven't quite got the scene enveloped in themselves yet. They haven't really brought the scene to themselves. I think Fnatic could do it. Fnatic is a well enough known brand, and I don't think PUBG Mobile is the greatest title, but I think it is a good enough title to go in there and start testing the market, start building those relationships, do some of those Fnatic pop-up shops we see all over the world. I think this is a good move by them. I don't think it's the final move, but I think it's a good start.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this probably several months ago when the whole esport in India boom was really starting to take off, and I completely agree with you. I feel like the Fnatic move into India is more getting that foothold in India than it is the PUBG mobile scene. Because as we know, the mobile scene in comparison to any other esports scene, whether it's console or PC or whatever it is, mobile really does struggle in comparison. So I do agree with you on that, that this is a huge move for Fnatic moving into essentially an untapped or lightly tapped market being India. And it's great to see esports really moving that direction in the world as well. There's a lot of great talent in those regions of Asia. So it's really good to see organizations like Fnatic really making their way down to India and hopefully even farther east, making their way back towards the traditional powerhouses of China, Korea, and Japan. So really, really cool to see that.
The other thing to keep in mind with mobile gaming is you and I, from the North American and like even European perspective, we see mobile gaming as it does well here and there. Clash Royale League didn't quite make it. What was that other game I played? Vainglory didn't quite make it after they made some goofy changes. But when we look at Asia, I can't think of what it, I think it's Honor of Kings is the game over in China. It's kind of like a MOBA style mobile game. I think it's something like that. Honor of Kings or Age of Kings. Either way, it's over there. It's extremely popular, and their mobile scene is thriving. I don't know if it's quite made it to India yet, but if it keeps coming from China, if that scene continues to build upon itself, I think the mobile scene there could be a really good jumpstart for mobile gaming in general. And I think this is Fnatic not only jumping into India, but also into the mobile scene in Asia as well.
Yeah, I believe that is, according to Google, Arena of Valor.
Okay, that's the American version.
Yeah, it's the American version. Squaresoft does have it correct. Yes.
Is it Honor of Kings?
It is Honor of Kings. Honor of Kings is the official title. The American version is the Arena of Valor.
Okay, that's what it is. That makes sense. Yeah, so, and I'm curious to see what that is because that's owned by Tencent, which owns Riot Games, which is releasing League of Legends Wild Rift. So Tencent is going to have a giant corner on the MOBA market in Asia, especially on mobile. So crazy things happening there. Buy your Tencent stock if you want. Again, this is not a stock investment show, but that is the advice we have to give here. Riot Games partners up with Panasonic Avionics to bring LCS and LCS Academy matches to in-flight systems. John, no more do you have to attempt to sleep next to that person that's snoring on the window. No longer do you have to watch these 10 movies over and over again. You can now tune into LCS action on that flight.
As the person who is sleeping at the window seat, I take great offense to that. No, this is awesome. I was on a flight recently, and there was an esport event. I'm blanking on what it was, but it was on ESPN. I actually think it might have been Overwatch. And because they had a match that streamed on ABC and Disney XD, and I believe ESPN even picked up one or two, I was able to actually watch it on the flight, and it was really, really cool. This is a great deal because now it's going to be more readily available. You're going to be able, I don't know if it's going to be something like Twitch where it's like, okay, you can log onto this platform, you know, on that screen behind the seat and, you know, in front of you and you pick a title and you can watch it stream. Kind of curious to really see how this plays out, but this is such an amazing opportunity. And again, another signal that esports really is growing at a rate that a lot of people never expected. Again, when you take a look at professional gaming, you know, 20 years ago, back in the 90s, you know, you're talking about LAN parties held in libraries and the bigger ones held in hotel ballrooms. Now we're talking filling up 20, 30, 40, 50,000 seat arenas and stadiums all around the world. And now we're talking about live streaming esport events on airplanes right next to football games, to baseball games, to hockey games. It's absolutely insane to think that this is where we are in 2019. insane in a good way, and I'm not dogging this at all. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Is this going to make me want to fly more? Probably not. You know, flying's still expensive, but I do love me some flying. But this is awesome. This is such a great way to provide more entertainment for passengers on airplanes.
Right, and I think it's a huge move overall, and mainly because of that. I'm also wondering if this moves us closer to knowing what platform Riot will be using. We've talked about it before. They were working with the people that run the MLB stuff on mobile. Are they going to look into developing their own platform for that? Are we going to look at them continuing to sign deals with Twitch or with YouTube, Mixer, Caffeine? I mean, there's so many different streaming platforms out there now. Is this a move for Riot just to buy into something that's already happening on airplanes, or is this them developing their app even further? So I think there are some question marks still around this as well. Okay, moving on, PUBG Global. So this is going on with the same scene of PUBG. This is not necessarily their mobile league, but their global league. So PUBG Global has canceled revenue share items for its global championship due to the development process and the inability to ensure a high enough quality skin to represent your organization in PUBG. I would argue I don't think PUBG's skin is well enough to represent itself right now. It's not really the prettiest looking game out there. It's quite buggy. In place of these branded items, so these teams buying into this league, wanting these branded items, wanted revenue sharing, this is what they're getting in place of it now. In place of that, they're getting 12 PGC branded items. So for the Global Championship League itself, they'll be available for purchase, and they will be giving 25% of the profits from those purchases to the prize pool. You're an organization, John. John's Esports buys into this league. You're thinking you're going to get revenue sharing from items that have been promised you for almost a year now. And now instead of that, these items are completely different. They're not going to include your logo. They're a league logo, which is giving PUBG more, really, I would say eye candy in a sense. Like, I mean, they're out there. They're the ones bringing everyone in with the images. It's no longer your logo. The brand awareness is not there. On top of that, the revenue sharing, that 25% that was promised to be split between you and the other teams, oh yeah, that's just going to go to the prize pool. So if you're the organization that does not place in that prize pool, you don't get any of that revenue sharing anymore. This, to me, is a complete mess.
Yeah, it's a disaster, really, when you think about it. When you take a look at some of the more successful esports out there, when it comes to branding for esports, like we saw in League of Legends, branding in League of Legends is still something fairly new. If you remember, for years, the only thing you would get is a team icon. Now, you know, they had specials for Worlds like the other year, you know, support your team and get, you know, Cloud9 colored skins for X, Y, and Z champions. You see Overwatch League, really from the inception of that league, said, hey, look, you're going to be able to wear the same skins the pro players are going to be wearing on stage when they compete. That's a way you can rep your team. That's a way that you can identify with your team and show that, hey, I'm a fan of this organization. Or in some cases, hey, I'm a fan of just the way the skin looks. This is such a bad idea from PUBG, just kind of saying, hey, look, we promised this for you. And, you know, it feels like they're kind of giving you an excuse saying, oh, well, we couldn't get the skins at a high enough quality. So we're just going to scrap it and give you things that have our logo on it. Now, when you talk Battle Royale, PUBG is on the struggle bus. They're not even on the battle bus is how bad they are. They're not even thinking the bus driver is how much they're struggling right now. And they pull a move like this, something that could really bring a lot of people back into the game, something that get a lot of people excited, to get people excited about PUBG esports. And now all of a sudden they're going to say, no, we're not going to do it. And their excuse is, we can't get the graphics right. Now, when PUBG first launched, they had a lot of issues with their graphics, a lot of clipping, a lot of distortion, a lot of bugs were in the game. And now they're sitting here saying, oh, hey, look, years later, it is now a graphical glitch, if you will, a graphics aren't good enough skin error that we're just going to wipe the whole thing and slap our logo over everything and split that up amongst everyone themselves. I don't like it. I don't like it as an esport fan. It's upsetting. And I can only imagine how the esport organizations feel, knowing that this promise has gone unfulfilled for a game that's kind of been underwhelming for the past year and a half.
Right. I mean, they made these promises. That's what eventually got these people to buy into this league, even though it was suffering. Its numbers were behind Fortnite, at least in North America and Europe. Now you're looking at this, and they're completely changing the deal. I mean, I want to see contracts, if there were contracts written or if these were empty promises. I mean, don't get me wrong. PUBG is a fun game. I agree it has its graphical glitches. I agree it has its fun aspects as well. When it comes down to it, you can't promise things and then give something completely different. I mean, if I'm an organization toward the bottom of the pile, let's say there's 10 teams and I'm number 7. there's a good chance I do not make it into that prize pool. With that being said, where's my profit? Where do I get my cut of that 25% now that I was originally promised? And then on top of that, I think the percentage should be even bigger. If we're talking now you don't get the brand awareness as well, now I can't buy a skin with a Fnatic logo on it, why am I going to buy into that? Why not give me something more? Give me 40%. Give me 35%. I think there's not enough being made up here for the loss of logo and brand awareness, as well as the loss of profit here that was guaranteed in a sense. I mean, yes, people still have to buy the skins in the first place, but they're being guaranteed a percentage as opposed to having to win out in a certain tournament to get to that percentage. So I feel like there's a lot of things that went wrong with this deal in particular. I don't feel like it was very clean. And I feel like this is one way that's really not going to help PUBG Esports continue to make its name better on the full outlook of esports worldwide.
And really, when you think about it, this couldn't come at a worse time for Battle Royale games. With Fortnite launching Chapter 2, with Fortnite creating the hysteria that was the black hole, and every kid around the world freaking out thinking their favorite video game got sucked into a black hole. Every parent in the world celebrating in jubilation that they have their kids back from a video game. With their announcement of Chapter 2 coming out, with all the changes in Fortnite, with all the hype around Fortnite and Battle Royale games again, PUBG making this announcement during the same time frame, one, it's probably going to get swept under the rug in comparison. That's just how big Fortnite is. But two, you are not going to win anybody over when Fortnite is actually making changes that the community wants, that a lot of pros want, that a lot of streamers want. You're not going to win anyone back when you don't deliver on these promises, saying, hey, look, you could represent your team in PUBG, something that Fortnite doesn't do. That was a distinct difference between the two. PUBG is now saying, you know what? We're backing out. It's not looking good. And when it feels like, you know, Fortnite may stumble, or, you know, their arrogance gets the better of themselves, there's no other Battle Royale that is making a single move to even try to catch up to them. Especially when you make moves like this, canceling on an idea that had so many esport fans hyped to rock their favorite esport organization in PUBG. It's not the right thing to do, and that community is going to continue to shrink because of it. It's going to hurt this game, and Fortnite's only going to get bigger.
Three things. One, again, this is that North America, Europe versus Asia issue. PUBG has played so much more than Fortnite in Asia, so it does have a pretty firm footing over there. With that being said, that brings us to number two, Rainbow Six Siege. You look at that scene, it was a scene that really fell apart until it had revenue sharing. Revenue sharing is really what has revitalized that scene. It's brought people back in. Siege is a great game. It's a fun game. But when you have orgs willing to continue backing it because they know they're going to get some kind of revenue sharing, because they know they're going to get brand awareness, when you have that, people feel more willing to support your game, which is an issue Fortnite is currently having. And I don't remember what the third thing was, but I'm sure it was a great point as well. Dang it, I don't remember what the last one was. But yeah, so I think this is a bad move by PUBG. I think they're not really going to be hurting in the market, but I think overall, really those relationships that you've built with players, built with organizations, that's where you're really going to feel the pain. Oh, I do know the third thing. The third thing is, John, so if you have a skin choice, let's say you were going to be getting a Cloud9 skin for a person in this game, or a Cloud9 backpack or whatever it is in PUBG, then it becomes just the League backpack. Do you buy the League backpack? Because there's no way I just buy a League-represented backpack.
No, there's no chance. Just like in Overwatch, like I'm more excited to earn Overwatch League tokens to buy more Washington Justice skins. I take that back. I already own all of the Washington Justice skins because I have a problem. No, it's like you don't want to buy something that says the game that you're already playing on. Like, it's like for a long time in video games, that's like your basic skin. Like, the skin you originally rocked is a skin that had like the game advertised on it because it's a basic skin. It's what it is. Unlocking skins, buying skins to represent an organization, buying a skin for charity, buying a skin to represent something, that's what gets people excited. That's what gets people wanting to spend money. Making skins that are exciting, not skins that are considered basic, not skins that are considered vanilla. Just it's lame. I don't see anyone wanting to buy a skin, like anyone using real life money to buy a skin that represents a game they already play. especially a game that you already had to pay money to get to. Like, did PUBG switch to free to play now?
I don't know what it is in Asia, to be completely honest. It could be free to play over there.
You know, there's a good chance people paid money for this game, and now, you know, you're asking them to pay even more money. Now, yeah, you can argue it worked in Overwatch to a point, maybe not as well as a lot of people expected it to. League of Legends is absolutely killing it. It's a free game. Microtransactions, they make millions and millions, if not billions of dollars. And Fortnite, I don't even want to bring them up because they're just raking in the money left and right for a free game. That's the way you need to do it. Fortnite doesn't have any of these issues. League of Legends doesn't have any of these issues. Now, all of a sudden, PUBG, they're still making these mistakes. And I'm sorry, if Riot was to release a Riot-based skin, I don't think anyone would buy it. I really don't, unless the skin looked out of this world. The championship skin looks amazing. KDA series skins, their Star Guardian skins, things that have that visual appeal to it, people will put money to, or skins that represent their organization. I'm not buying a game skin that has, I'm not going to buy an Overwatch League skin that has an Overwatch logo on it. I'm not going to buy a League of Legends skin that has a League of Legends logo on it. To me, that's just lame and a poor excuse for trying to grab money.
I agree for the most part. I think there are ways to sell League skins. So like LCS and LEC, for example, we have the League of Legends scene in North America versus the League of Legends pro scene in Europe. I think you could totally play that off as a Rift Rivals sale. Buy this LCS skin to represent the LCS. Buy this LEC skin. Like, there are opportunities for things like that in League scenes. Even PUBG. I think PUBG is on like 4 or 5 different scenes that bring together in one culmination. With that being said, like, you're not going to drive a prize pool that way. It's just, it's not going to happen unless you bring some kind of story along with it. With the LCS-LEC example, you can play off the rivalry between the two regions. With PUBG, that's never really had anything like this, and it's just keep being promised over and over. What are you bringing into it? Every region, buy this beautiful PUBG global skin. Like, okay, I want my team to win the prize pool, but if I'm a team that's not finishing in the top two in my region, there's no way I'm going to contribute to a prize pool that's going to go to some other random team. Like, yes, I want to support esports. I want prize pools to grow, but I'd rather put my money toward a prize pool that I actually think is an esports scene that is continuing to grow in its sense. Like PUBG, you've shown me so many empty promises. You've shown me so many ways to fail. How do you succeed? How do you show these organizations what you promised them? Give the players what they want. Give the fans what they want. Make these skins. Your game in general doesn't look that great, in my humble opinion. It's okay if the skin looks a little laggy when you're falling down a laggy cliff that you're going to lag through anyway. Like, come on, people. This is a lame excuse to me. Not a fan.
I still enjoy the glitch in the game when PUBG was first released where you go prone and you're like on a slight incline and your guy hovers off the ground but also clips through the ground at the same time. And you're sitting there looking at it like, what is going on? I think we even used that logo for cover art for one of our episodes way back in the day. But yeah, it's PUBG, you're not going to win anybody over by doing this. It's not a good thing at all.
Yeah, Hashtag fix PUBG. Remember that campaign? I think it's ended graphically, but maybe we need to start it back up for fix PUBG esports.
Make PUBG great again. Or actually, make PUBG great, period. It's been struggling. Like there is no again. Like, fix it. Fix it.
Going off of chat did mention there's a Riot Dr. Mundo skin. I believe that's correct. I think there's a Riot Kale skin. I want to say there's a Riot Blitzcrank skin.
I believe there's a Riot Race skin as well.
And there might be Malphite stomps the Riot logo into the ground, the old Riot logo. But yeah, there's a few of those little teasers out there for sure. Rise might have one as well.
Yeah, but I believe those were like way,
Tristana.
Way back.
Tristana has a Riot.
But in all honesty, Joey, I mean, with how much we've played League over the past fill in the blank years, I've never really seen those Riot skins ever in a game. Like, no one ever talks about it. Like, they're not visually appealing, especially when you compare it to present day skins. They just don't add up. They're just not up to par. I don't even think you can buy those skins anymore. I think they're in the
legacy.
Vault.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see, what Riot's going to do with that. But, you know, I don't think Riot could get away with that nowadays if they're like, oh, hey, look, we're going to bring back your favorite, champion in game with a Riot t-shirt on.
I'll tell you what, I think Riot can get away with murder at this point. I mean, that company sells skins like no other. You could put the goofiest skin out there. It can even be a recolor. I guarantee someone buys it on launch day. I guarantee thousands of people probably buy it on launch day.
Well, that with how big their player base is, of course someone's gonna buy it.
It's just crazy.
But like when you talk about the most grossing skin, though, you know, you're talking like series like Star Guardian, KDA. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure made an absolute smashing when that was first introduced, and ever since, you know, when you take a look at those legacy lines of skins that people really get hyped about, like I feel like that's where like a good chunk of their money comes from, is when they release those skins, like the High Noon skins and even the Project mm-hmm. skins, you know, the skins that really get people fired up.
Oh yeah, Project kills it. Project and Star Guardian are probably I would say those are probably the top two in my mind.
Star Guardian gets me every time. Every time.
You have a problem.
I do have a problem.
I believe Chat actually said you had a skin problem somewhere on here.
Yes, it was a skin addiction.
A skin addiction, yes. A skin addiction. Yes,
a skin addiction.
Yeah, John has one of those, so keep an eye out for him. So bring the aloe, he needs it. The Call of Duty League will feature 26 events in its inaugural season, spanning the course of 28 weeks and set to begin in early 2020. John, I'm not going to lie, I did not look too much into this recent announcement for the Call of Duty League. Just on like a brief thought, 26 events in 28 weeks sounds obnoxious to me. I don't know what events mean, if that just means a week of gameplay. I'm hoping that's what it means, because if we're talking 26 tournament style events across the season, that's a little scary to me.
It's a lot. When you take the spring split and the summer split of League of Legends, we're talking 10 weeks. We're talking two games a week in the current format. That's 20 games a split, or, you know, a split, you know, it's 40 games overall. But, you know, there's this massive break. This is like NFL kind of like, this is going to be long. And it's going to be interesting to see how Call of Duty does it. I mean, it kind of feels like they're trying to build off the success that Overwatch League has had. But even Overwatch League, I mean, teams are averaging either 1 to 2 a weekend. And we're talking like, what, 5 weeks in a stage? We're talking 10 games per stage. And then there's a break. There's a playoff and there's a break. So it's not like back to back to back to back. This seems like this is going to be 26 events in 28 weeks. I mean, and who knows how many games they're going to be playing. There's a chance that this could, I mean, this is going to go literally more than half a year. You know, there's 52 weeks in a year. It's insane.
Yeah, I'm honestly not really even finding the answers on their website that well. It sounds like very similar to the League of Legends format. They're going to be split into two splits, as opposed to what we see in the Overwatch League with the different stage breakdown. And then from there, each split will determine, just like League of Legends, you're playing through win-loss record, head-to-head ties. Then from there, there's going to be a playoff at the end of each of those splits. I'm just curious how they're only getting 2 weeks of break in there. When you think League of Legends, it's almost, it's got to be 6 weeks, right? With MSI there in the middle?
Sorry, I was responding to chat.
John
Sorry.
Is lost in Twitch chat. I feel like it's 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere between. I think it's six, if I had to guess. It's around 6 weeks between the two splits for League of Legends. So for this just to be 2 weeks of break somewhere in there, that seems a little crazy to me. I'm guessing those 2 weeks come right in the middle. Anything else for the Call of Duty scene there, sir?
I'm buckling in. It's going to be a long season for them.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't have a skin addiction in that game over there.
Oh, God.
This is becoming a thing. It is. Ooh, let's go on to this one. CBS has greenlit Rick Fox, the League of Legends esports comedy series. At first, when I heard about this, John, I thought this was a series making fun of Rick Fox, and I was not very happy about it. I was like, this is not going to end well. It's going to be racist. It's going to be terrible for esports. Now it's Rick Fox directing it. After I've read more into this, after I've done some more research, Rick Fox is coming in. He has put this into submission. He's talked to CBS, and CBS has eventually greenlit the series. I'm still concerned, though, to be honest. I mean, Rick Fox and esports have not really left on the most pleasant of feet. He's obviously getting paid for the sale of Echo Fox. But overall, I mean, there's a lot of issues going on there. I'm going to pause for a minute because it looks like we're frozen.
Welcome back.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool.
Are you back?
Yeah. I've been watching you guys the whole time. I like the facial expressions you got going on there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know where I left off. Do you have any idea?
You were just talking about how you don't know what to expect, and you originally thought it was going to be a comedy on Rick Fox and how that was a bad idea, but it now looks like, and then you froze.
Right. Okay. Let's try this again. So yeah, I originally thought Rick Fox was going to be the one being made fun of in here, but now it's actually Rick Fox who's going to be directing and producing this at the same point, assuming I haven't froze yet. Hopefully this does not end up bad. I could see this going a bad direction as well because Rick Fox and esports are not really on the greatest of footing right now. Obviously the Echo Fox deal falling through. Rick Fox did get some money for that, or he is going to once that sale is completely finalized, with Evil Geniuses picking up that spot, but now it's going to the court to end up distributing it instead of Riot Games. So it's messy, and I'm hoping Rick Fox does not use this as a revenge tactic against esports as well, nor do I want him really making fun of gamers too much. Like, I think it's nice to poke fun here and there, but I don't want him going out and slamming the esports scene. I'm hoping that care he had is still there, and I'm hoping the situation at Echo Fox doesn't bleed too much into this drama.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything too bad, any too stereotypical of gamers. Because like if we remember when Rick Fox first got into esports, he talked about how it was a way he had a like renewed his bond with his son, who was really big into esports. And Rick Fox saw it as a great opportunity, not just to bond with his kid, but really be on the forefront of this esport wave. So I feel like this is going to have a great opportunity where, you know, you take a look at esports, they kind of poke fun at themselves a lot. I feel like this is what the series is going to be a little bit more of. You know, a little bit more, you know, industry insider jokes, esport community jokes, gamer jokes, you know, things that, let's be real here, gamers and esport fanatics already do to themselves. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's, you know, we poke fun at each other. We, you know, we make fun of ourselves when we do something goofy in a game or when we do something goofy in an esport game. So I feel like that's the direction it's going to go. I really don't feel like Rick Fox is anything negative. And really going through this article about, you know, the potential pilot here, you know, we're talking about cameos from Riot employees like Dash from the NALCS host desk, you know, James Dash Patterson. Team Liquid's roster is apparently making a cameo. Rick Fox is hopping in there. So, you know, there's a lot of really big names, and I really don't think Riot would have been okay with the idea of having names like Jensen, Doublelift, Core JJ, and Impact really being on TV in this pilot episode if it totally trashes League of Legends or esports or anything like that. I feel like there's going to be so what just popped in my mind. There's a great YouTube miniseries that came out a couple years ago. I think the creators, they never finished it, but it was about a former pro League of Legends player that's kind of washed up after he made a really bad blunder on the stage, and they're putting together like this like ragtag team, you know, of five players, and he's kind of like the anchor in mid lane, and it was really funny. It was absolutely hysterical. Like every stereotype, I'm blanking on the name. If I find it, I'll make sure to link it next week. But it's absolutely hysterical, and they hit on everything that League of Legends, you know, has issues with, or funny things about the community with League of Legends. And it was absolutely hysterical. The people I've showed it to thought it was absolutely funny. I think there's only like two episodes out of it on YouTube. Again, this was like, I think this was created like in 2014, but it was actually funny. And it left me wanting more. I wanted some other kind of content with esports that was somewhat comedy based. Like it was still true to its nature, but had a lot of jokes thrown into it. It was actually really exciting to watch. And let's be real here. If a major news network is giving it the green light for a pilot episode, it had to have done well with its audience that saw the idea, that maybe saw this pilot episode, that maybe saw or got to read the script, and something big had to have happened for this network to say, yes, we're going to go ahead and green light this pilot to see how well it does. And if it does as well as everyone's anticipating, then we're going to order a full season. So there's a lot of opportunity here, and I really don't think they would have gotten that green light from almost anyone involved if it was as negative as some of us fear it might be. So I understand where you're coming from, Joey. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully, it's not too negative.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was playing devil's advocate there. That's fair. I tend to agree with you as well. I think you hit the big nail on the head. It was the fact that Riot Games is allowing cameos for it. They control all those personalities. They would not let Team Liquid players, they would not let Dash, different people like that onto the camera if this was the case. So I have a feeling I don't know if the whole script had to be pre-approved, but I'm sure certain parts had to be pre-approved to get it allowed. So I do think this will be fine. I think it'll be well done. I'm very curious how they're going to make this into a big comedy. I feel like a lot of the esports comedy comes from memes more than anything. Like, you see a lot of GIFs, you see a lot of memes. We haven't really heard as many, I guess, jokes in a sense as far as it goes. A lot of it has really just been played around those memes and the expansion of those and the talk and fun around them. So I'm curious how that translates to a TV show and what type of angle they end up taking with that. So I'm excited. I think it'll be really good. I think the fact it's on CBS is really good as well. And the other thing to go along with that, I think esports is a huge buzzword right now. So even if the script isn't the highest of notches, I think having esports, having someone like Rick Fox, having players like Team Liquid allowed to be on this show, I think that's going to draw in viewers in and of itself.
Oh, absolutely huge. I'm actually curious as to how well that League of Legends documentary on Netflix is doing, along with the mini documentary that came out. I'm blanking on what series it was, but there was a small mini documentary that came out on League of Legends. During the same time, Doublelift was going through that tragedy in regards to his parents. And like that was... I'm not going to say it was must-see TV, but it was so well done that it got you engaged. You know, there was a storyline that you as a person, even if you didn't know esports, could, you know, connect to and sympathize with. And a lot of people gave positive reviews on it. So I'm kind of hoping it goes a little bit more that route where, you know, it stays true to the spirit of esports. But at the same time, I think if there's a community that is open to the community poking fun at itself, it's the esport community. I feel like gamers and esports are very good. Esport gamers are very good at poking fun at themselves, whether it is through memes, whether it is through, you know, onstage jokes, whether it's through TSM XD during the draft phase, you know, stuff like that is absolutely hysterical. And I would expect to see some of that same kind of memery, if you will, on this show. As well as some of your stereotypical network comedy themes as well.
Yeah, I'm curious what ends up happening once Sneaky makes a cosplay appearance on the show.
Oh, no. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would make Rick Fox blush, I'm sure. That would be quite the appearance on TV.
Let's be real.
Chat is asking the League of Legends documentary on Netflix. I believe it's called League of Legends Origins. I haven't had a chance to check it out either, but it was announced on the Riot Games anniversary 10-year stream for League of Legends. Do you know that for sure, John? Is it League of Legends Origins?
Pulling up Netflix as we speak.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I think it's League of Legends : Origins. This is where we would play Jeopardy music if I had my soundboard set up.
Okay, apparently I don't know my own password for Netflix.
Okay,
so.
You know what? I'm going to do something fancy here. I'm going to go on Google. League of Legends, and I'm going to type Origins, Netflix. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Yes, League of Legends Origins without that colon that I mentioned. So just League of Legends Origins, four words, one search, Netflix. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Games releasing this week. John, I don't know if you've pre-ordered either one of these. I know you do have access to one of them. For multiplayer, Call of Duty Modern Warfare drops on October 25th, and then... for those interested in single player, solo campaigns, we have critically acclaimed The Outer Worlds dropping October 25th as well. That's the game. It kind of looks like Fallout in space. It's now owned by an Xbox studio. This game was developed prior to that acquisition, though, so it is released on, I believe it's PlayStation, Xbox, and PC that one's coming out of, and it was the top award-winning game at E3 this past year. I'm excited for both of these. I'm not going to get Call of Duty up front, though. I think I'm going to wait and see on Call of Duty. I was a former Call of Duty player. I played a whole lot of Call of Duty. Then from there, I've retired and not really made my way back. I was going to try the beta for Modern Warfare, and it kept lagging out. It kept not launching right. There were tons of issues on it, and I'm not going to buy it for console. I'm pretty much done with Call of Duty on console. If I'm jumping back in, it will be on PC. So unless I see this thing running smoothly, unless I get a good look of it, I don't think I'm purchasing just yet.
As someone who was never a pro in Call of Duty, or semi-pro, I am not buying Call of Duty either. I'm really not impressed with the way that title has gone. I'm really not impressed with the games that have come out. I feel like they have neglected the story side of that game, a game that kind of really made its name, not on the multiplayer, but really on the story it told about its campaign mode. Turn back the time all the way back to early 2000s when you know, Call of Duty was a World War II game where you got to experience different major battles of World War II all over Europe or all over the Pacific. And it was so immersive. I remember one time my dad's boss, who was advanced in levels, if you will, was a World War II vet. And he bought the game for his grandson, and he watched his grandson play. And in Call of Duty 2, there was the very first level you play in that campaign was you storm the beaches of Normandy. And it was so accurate that it literally like triggered that PTSD within him, and like he completely shut down. It was that accurate. Like, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I'm saying that's how realistic, that's how well done Call of Duty used to be. And now all of a sudden we're talking about space guns and aliens. It became like every other shooter out there. And then they started neglecting the campaign. Maybe you're lucky if you get 2 hours of campaign, and they started focusing so much more on multiplayer. And it makes sense. Multiplayer is the future. That's where a lot of people go to play games online now. And I get it. That's fine. There's still a large population out there that enjoys the campaign mode. Call of Duty has really kind of neglected that. And when you're throwing out titles every other year, it just kind of feels like you're rebranding the same game. Nothing changes too much, or there are so many changes that the community hates. And it's always a roller coaster with Call of Duty, it feels like, at least in my opinion. And that's one of the reasons why I'm just going to be hanging back here. I'm just going to hang out. I'm going to chill. I'm going to see how Call of Duty plays out. If in a couple months there's a huge player base, a lot of the bugs have worked themselves out. I know, Joey, you and I have talked quite a bit about some of the experiences you had on the beta. That doesn't make me feel good as a gamer. Like, that doesn't make me feel like I want to rush out and commit $60+ to this video game if the beta was such a disaster. If, you know, especially when I'm already wishy-washy on the title as it is in comparison to other games that are currently out there. Now, for Outer Worlds, yes, that's a game I'm probably going to get. I'm probably not going to get it on launch. I'll probably give it a couple weeks, mainly just because money issues.
You already have access to it.
Is that through the Xbox thing?
That's free through Xbox Game Pass, baby.
I'll tell you what, I'm downloading it then. Through Xbox Game Pass, I'll probably download and play. It sounds fun. It sounds unique. It's not a game that kind of sold out to the popular narrative. It was a game that was built upon that narrative. The graphics look great. The gameplay on it looks amazing. Outer Worlds I'll probably play. Call of Duty, I'm going to take a step back and wait.
I think they're taking Call of Duty in the right direction, though. I think they went way too far out there with, as John says, gun shooting in space. I mean, the thing that really killed me was the sliding. I don't like all the sliding crap. Like, leave that for some crazy acrobatic shooter. I don't want that in Call of Duty. Give me straightforward, let me run and gun. Don't give me 4,000 kill streaks to choose from. Give me like 3 to 5. I don't need a ton of craziness. Not to mention, like, as a caster as well for esports, it's way too crazy with thousands of kill streaks. And if you look at a player as well, how do I track all these kill streaks? This player's on a 5 kill streak. Well, what can he unlock from that? In original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, if he hits 7, he gets a helicopter. If he hits 5, he gets the airstrike, UAV at 3. Now in these newer Call of Duties, I feel like there's like 20,000 different options out there, and there's all these different trees, and it's almost like you're playing an RPG within a shooter. It's just, it's a little too much for me on the multiplayer side. It's hard to really command a team as an in-game leader in it as well, which is one of the real passions I have for Call of Duty titles. You can't do that when you're trying to track 3 billion different types of kill streaks and all these different guns, and now you can have all these customizations for guns. It's a lot. It feels like they pour too much into it. But at least as far as the narrative goes, this campaign has questionable aspects to it, but it feels like they have spent a lot of time in the campaign. And on top of that, the multiplayer, there's a lot of customization, but from what I've heard, they've cut back on kill streaks. So there's still a good number out there, but they've cut back from having, like, I think it was something like 3 or 4 different trees of close to 20 kill streaks. But that craziness is not there anymore. They've cut that back. It's a little bit more reasonable, which I think is more fun for players to track, but then you also have the customization options for your gun. If you want a certain red dot scope, if you want a different dot color, silencer, clips, all that's still there. So I think that's good for players to really customize guns, but at the same point, the kill streaks are more trackable for a team level if you're playing competitive. So I think there's a lot of good things they're doing. I think the setting is good as well. I want to see classic Modern Warfare maps too come into the scene. And I really like this approach. I've never been a big fan of the Black Ops series, all 4 of them, not really my spread of the butter, I guess. I can't think of what I want to say.
Spread of the butter? That was a very unique saying.
My bread and butter, is that the phrase? Hashtag Mondays. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think this is the direction they need to go. I think they need to cut back from the futuristic. I think going back to World War II, World War I could be cool as well later on. But modern is kind of where I really enjoyed Call of Duty, at least playing through that history to modern. And I kind of would be fine if they stay in modern for quite a while. But next year, there'll be something different.
You confuse Squirrel in chat so much, he just throws up question marks.
My like, spread what? Of the butter.
Your spread of the butter. Oh, that's going to be your new hashtag, spread of the butter.
Spread of the butter. And what's yours? Skintastic or something? Skindiction.
Skindictions.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Well, our editor's really going to love this. He's going to think we all are diseased. But yeah, I think these are great games. October 25th, I would not be surprised if the internet goes down for a little while between Call of Duty launching and the Outer Worlds as well. The best of multiplayer, the best of really single player as far as shooters go for this particular year. Both these games pretty highly acclaimed at the moment. That was fun. League of Legends, Worlds, John. This is the bread and butter. We can bring the bread to go with this spreadable butter right here because Worlds was exciting. We had so much great play in groups. I do want to kick things off. Oh, yeah, get that Jaeger up, baby. Drink licorice because licorice is going home in Group A.
Sir, this is purely NA fanboy tears. As you mentioned at the beginning of the show, it is pure NA fanboy tears.
I'm just telling you, we can blend that licorice right into Cloud9's licorice going home because they finished in third in Group A. The standings, Griffin 6-1, G2 5-2, Cloud9 2-4, No Miracle second day, and Hong Kong Attitude heading back to Hong Kong with a winless record. Ouch. Yeah, this was an interesting group. I think most people had G2 finishing on top. And then the second seed, it almost felt like a 50% between Griffin and C9. Obviously, this is the group that messed most people up, I have a feeling.
Messed me up. I thought Cloud9 had a legitimate opportunity here to get second place. Griffin played out of their minds, 6-1. A lot of people had him penciled in as that number two seed, battling for Cloud9. G2 was the heavy favorites in here, dropping two games. I believe they split with Griffin. So, you know, it's... not too bad. I mean, Griffin and G2 both get out of it. Griffin obviously gets the easier, if you will, first opponent in the knockout round, being in first place. G2 gets the harder, being in second place, but it may work out for him. We'll see here in the knockout round next. But yeah, Cloud9, really lackluster performance. I feel like they almost underachieved, underperformed. I really don't have much to say about Cloud9 because I feel like they had the opportunity still and they just squandered it. I feel like they did better than some other teams. Let's just put it that way. So I'm not that disappointed with Cloud9. I'm disappointed they didn't make it out of groups this time, but I'm not as upset in comparison to like, I don't know.
Yeah, Cloud9. Yeah, there's a few different ways to go with this. I think Cloud9 did well. I think they can go home happy. I think they had the best performance of any of the NA teams, if I had to argue that. With that being said, it was still lackluster. It's still not what NA fans want to see. It's not what Cloud9 fans want to see. Going into day two, I think a lot of people had very high expectations for Cloud9. This is a Cloud9 team that's historically suffered on day one and then come out in day two and did really well, or I guess week one, week two. Either way, the second half, when they play those last three matches, Cloud9 has typically done very well. They've been very well prepared draft-wise. They've come with a lot of energy. They've shown up. The draft did not look very well prepared. The energy did not quite look there for day two. It wasn't the cleanest Cloud9 performance. And with that being said, I think there are other factors to consider, one being Griffin. Griffin looked extremely lackluster in week one. Griffin looked extremely strong in week two. This is a Griffin team that came out and swept the field in week two. A Griffin team that just lost their coach, will really let their coach go prior to Worlds. Everyone had such low expectations for them because of that move, and they looked like they were going to meet those low expectations in week one. Week two, they come out, and they actually 2-0 G2, John. So it went 1-0 against G2, and then it ended up being a tiebreaker for the group, and they ended up taking G2 down again. And we're not talking just taking G2 down. We're talking straight up spanked, demolished, and demoed G2. Like, it was ugly. It made them look like an NA team. It was bad. And
whoa, that was totally uncalled for, sir. You take your EU biased, and you go back to your home.
I mean, I could have said LMS. That's about just as bad right now. But yeah, G2.
Back-to-back insults. What is this? Jeez.
NA needs to get it together. Let's get serious. They need a little insult here and there. But yeah, G2 did not look as clean as a lot of people expected. A lot of people think it's going to be G2, SK Telecom. These are two of the strongest teams in the world right now. Griffin ending up on top, I think, is a very big statement. A statement saying, hey, we may not have our coach anymore, but we still know how to play the game. We still know how to run the series, and we can take down the world's best. That's exactly what they did here in Group A. Over in Group B, this was the messiest group. If you ask Splice, Splice thinks this was one of the hardest groups out there. I think they're freaking delusional. I think that's a snake that bit itself and it's got its own venom running through its veins. Fun plus Phoenix finishes first, 5-2. Splice gets that second seed, 4-3 after a 2-0 or 3-0 run at the end there to be able to push them into that. And then they lost the tiebreaker with Fun plus. We have CTBCJ team. That's for one of those LMS teams that did end up performing pretty well here. And then GAM Esports coming in as a wild card. They ended up 1-5. None of those fancy marine mechanics that we saw in years past. I'm not super surprised with this group. This is exactly the way I predicted it, I believe. If I remember correctly, I might have had GAM and J Team switched on this. But I'm not surprised Splice ended in second. Not surprised Fun Plus ended in first. I did think everyone underperformed, though. I think this whole group, maybe J Team being the exception, underperformed. Fun Plus looked like a phoenix that was still stuck in the ashes. It hadn't quite risen. I don't know if it's going to rise for quarters. Splice, like I said, a snake that bit itself. They're straight up delusional. J Team, props to J Team. I think they were the best team in this group as far as expectations go. Gambit, GAM Esports, I was really hoping for more. This is a Gigabyte Marines team that now has Levi back as their jungler. They are the team that pulled out those fancy, crazy picks that ended up going up against like Immortals. It was Longzhu and Fnatic a couple years back. They look bad. They look like retired Marines, to be honest.
Wow, Joey, you're just slapping everyone
I'm
around.
I'm spicy.
And rightfully so. Group B is the group that didn't want to win. it was like every team was like either they're playing so conservatively to not lose, or they're playing to win and they're doing it in a very, very, very poor manner. It was rough to watch Group B. Splice, like you said, leading into Group B, you know, you ask them, they're going to say this was the hardest group they've ever been in. And I just don't see it. Like, this group, like, Splice should have had no issues with this group. They should have been a solid second seed from day one. And they struggled. It was bad. It took a day two, you know, turn of events. Like, they pulled a Cloud 9. Is exactly what they did to punch their ticket out of the group stage in a group where they really should not have struggled as much as they did. And Joey, like you said, Phoenix, I mean, there were games that Phoenix should have lost, like hands down should have lost and somehow managed to win, mainly because the other teams threw so hard. This group, you know, you have the group of death. You have the group that would put the viewers to sleep is essentially what Group B is. It just wasn't exciting at all. It was just more head scratching than anything, trying to figure out what in the world these four teams in Worlds were trying to do. It was messy.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say C or D is the group of death, B is the group of life. Every single team had an opportunity to get out of this one. If you didn't make it out, it's your own fault because everyone was trying to throw in this group. Again, I think Splice had a great day too. I think they're a strong team coming from the LEC. I think they're just slightly delusional on the strength of their group. Brings us to Group C, a group that is very strong and proved that they're strong. This is where I go and I say I hate League of Legends format as far as how they draw these pools. It should be four pools. It should not be three pools. There is no way in hell a team like SK Telecom, Fnatic, and Royal Never Give Up should be in the same group. These are arguably three top five teams at Worlds. The fact that you're losing one of these in the group stage already feels like a travesty, especially as well as RNG played. So, yeah, not a fan of that one. Fnatic did come out of this group. I'm extremely excited about that, as you can tell. They did end up really looking good on day two, if you do not count the first game. The first game against Clutch ended up being described like Zoo Tycoon after the zookeeper releases the animals. It looked like a straight-up mess. They had a 5v5 within the first minute of the game in bot lane Brush. It was chaotic as hell. I feel like that almost had to be pre-planned before they went into the game for the craziness that happened in there. But then from there were fights everywhere. The movements were bad. The macro play was terrible. Fnatic came out on top. They tried to throw very badly to Huni's GP with three infinity edges. It didn't end up happening in the end. Fnatic did come out clean, as clean as you could, as clean as running through a swamp makes you, but you still end up on the other side. And then they came up against SK Telecom. They did extremely well. They looked very clean. Nemesis really went way to way with Faker. Nemesis ended up solo killing Faker after Faker overcalculated. Fnatic came out very good, very clean. Then it's the RNG match. The match that really determines everything for this group. RNG advances if they win. Fnatic advances if they win. Who is it going to come down to? Who will win this matchup? Fnatic ends up taking it. And I think the really big storyline here is not only the fact that Fnatic went 3-0, but the fact that Reckless was able to go up against Uzi, someone he's lost to 9 out of the last 10 matches, and ends up on top. Not only on top, but deathless. He ended up with no deaths and a ton of kills in that game, a ton of assists. He ended up playing out so well, so clean. He was willing to make the aggressive plays when he needed to, and that to me is big. That to me is the theme of this year's Worlds, overcoming your demons, and that's exactly what Reckless and Fnatic did here against RNG.
And it's kind of funny. I completely forgot what I was going to say. I had an amazing thought. Oh, yes, that's what it is. That first Fnatic game. So you actually sent me a clip of that horrific 5v5 in the bot lane brush. And the only thing that came to mind was every Iron 4 player in the world said, see, even the pros do it. It's a legitimate strategy. And I'm sitting here shaking my head going, no, this is not what we want to see. It was a clown fiesta. And that's even putting it mildly. I think the zoo tycoon when the keeper goes away is a great analogy for what that game was. It was a hot mess. But that Fnatic RNG matchup, oh my gosh. First off, Reckless is one of those players that I don't think anyone in the world should be able to dislike the guy. He is so passionate about his trade. He's so passionate about his gameplay, his skill, his team. He gets a lot of grief for showing emotion. And it really does kind of piss me off a little bit. Reckless is one of those players. He's been in the scene for a while. His path to glory was bumpy in the beginning. You know, he had to overcome a lot of hurdles. He came back to a Fnatic team that went 18-0, the perfect undefeated season. He stayed through multiple rebuilds on Fnatic and did an absolute incredible job. I mean, he's put his heart and soul into this team, and then people make fun of him for being so passionate about beating someone that he has a massive losing record against in Uzi. Look, if you're a real esport fan, if you're a fan of that underdog story, if you're a fan of true competition, that was amazing. What Reckless and Fnatic was able to do against RNG, the tears of joy that Reckless had is enough to move anybody in a room. It was absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't be happier for Reckless. I don't know him personally. I kind of wish I did. He probably seems like a really cool guy. He's got great tattoos. But I could not be happier for Reckless for being able to overcome that massive hurdle. But, Joey, I want to go back to your original point in this group. I completely agree with you. The fact that SKT, Fnatic and RNG are in the same group is an absolute travesty to League of Legends. It's a travesty to the Worlds tournament that these three teams, someone has to bow out in this group. It is absolutely absurd that SKT, Fnatic and RNG, someone has to lose. RNG in any other group would have made it out. Fnatic in any other group, I would make the same argument, and definitely SKT. Those are three powerhouse picks. And it's unfortunate that we get teams like, and again, no offense to these teams, but really when it comes to skill, don't really match up. You know, Fun plus Phoenix, Splice. I mean, really? Damwon is really impressive. I'm not going to try to knock them, but you know, when you compare them to like, you know, it's mainly Group B I'm ticked off about because it was just such a disaster of a group. There's no way that RNG should be knocked out because of this. In a perfect world, I would love to say, okay, Splice, I'm sorry, you're going home. RNG is going to make it out of this. They played out of their mind. They are truly worthy of it. But again, it does come down to the draw. It's part of the tournament. It is luck-based, if you will. But it's sad overall for the quality of play going into the knockout round.
It really needs to come down to four pools. If they split pool two, instead of being eight teams into two groups of four, I think it becomes much cleaner. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at these standings, you put the LEC teams, and probably the Chinese team in RNG in that one. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's a breakdown. Like, regions like LCK, China, and LEC, at least the way they've been performing historically, should get that extra edge to be in that top pool. But then you also don't end up with other teams getting screwed because groups are too overpowered. Like Clutch Gaming. They might not be the greatest team in the world. They might not be anything amazing. But if you don't have RNG in that group and you have, maybe you have J Team, or maybe you have Hong Kong Attitude or Cloud9 or someone different. Well, you can't have Cloud9, but you get the point. If it's someone else, if it's not someone as powered as RNG, I think Clutch leaves this group with wins under their belt. I don't think they go 0-6 for the first time in NA's history. I think they have the ability to pick up a win, maybe two. I mean, they did not look bad against Fnatic, SK, or Royal Never Give Up in week two. They held with them for quite a while. If that was another team that's not really a top five level team, I really think they could have ended up with a win and looked much better in groups. Moving on to Group D, our final group of worlds, we have Damwon Gaming, Invictus Gaming, Team Liquid, AHQ Esports. I also predicted this one cleanly as well. The only group I really jacked up was Group A. Damwon Gaming looks incredibly strong. A lot of people doubted them having to go to play-ins, but you're also doubting the number three team coming out of one of the strongest regions in South Korea. They're extremely talented. Showmaker and mid laner has been really living up to his name. He's been quite the show to watch. Noggery in top lane has looked incredible. He's such a strong carry top laner. He loves his little kleptomancy, which is almost like a mind game as well, saying, I don't really need to pick another rune because I just want to farm you for gold. I mean, that just tilts me thinking about it, to be completely honest. I mean, it's just such a talented group. And then Invictus as well, the defending world champions. Rookie in the mid lane looked absolutely incredible in their last game of the group. I mean, you have the Shy, arguably the best top laner in the world, almost unarguably because he's that good. Jungle strong with Ning. You have a great bot lane and Jackie, Love, and Baolan. I mean, Invictus is a world's contender in a sense. Yeah, they didn't do that well in China this year. I think they were third overall, but Invictus still brings a lot of power to the group. And in a sense, Team Liquid screwed in that group. I mean, yes, Team Liquid's like, oh, free low, we're moving on 100%. That's just them being way too cocky. That's like the opposite of Splice. I mean, when it comes down to it, Team Liquid, I think they would have had a shot in another group as well. I think they just got screwed by the luck of the draw more than anything. You're up against the number three teams from China and the number three team from South Korea. Yeah, if you want to win Worlds, you have to beat these teams. At the same point, this is easily an easy, quick exit for Team Liquid as well, being against these stacked teams.
And really, when you take a look at Team Liquid, and, you know, this is a team that has a lot of ego on it. There's a lot of players that have egos. There's a lot of players that are outspoken on this team. And when you compare their talent to the talent they face in the LCS, they have every right to be as arrogant and cocky as they are. This team was built for international competition. The problem is, you have a lot of players on this team that have never had success in international competition. I'm talking Doublelift, Jensen last year. Yeah, they made it out of groups. They made it into the final four, but I would make an argument that Jensen had some pretty bad games along the way, and if it wasn't for the insane play of Sneaky, Cloud9 doesn't get as far. Jensen kind of bringing his old incarnation attitude back out here just a little bit. You know, talking about how this group's being so free and how they're guaranteed to get out. You know, as an NA fan, of course, I'm rooting for him, especially that Cloud9 was eliminated days prior. But yeah, if you're going to talk a big game, I expect you to back it up. And here's Team Liquid again, pulling out their mediocre card and going 3-3 in this group. And really leaving a lot to be desired. You have a lot of major names. You have Impact in top lane, a former world champion. You have Core JJ, a more recent former world champion. You have Doublelift, arguably one of the better, if not top 10 ADCs in the world. Put him anywhere in there that you want. And Jensen, a solid mid laner. Really, Liquid's biggest issue is in their jungle. There's really no excuse for them not to get out of groups. Yeah, they had a tough draw, but I'm not going to sit here and act like Invictus was playing out of their minds. I'm not going to sit here and act like Team Liquid didn't squander that opportunity. They really did. They had a chance in the second go around. They just played bad. And really, when you take a look at it, they have a history. Some of these players on Team Liquid have a history of playing poorly when the time counts in international competition. And that seems to be an ongoing issue here with Team Liquid. A lot of NA fans really wanted to see them make it out of the groups to be at least one team to represent NA going into the knockout round. But instead, NA gets zero teams moving into the knockout round for the first time ever.
And like I said, I don't think we really hit Team Liquid too hard on this for the fact that they really were in a good group. I mean, when you look at these two teams, these are two teams that could potentially go on to the World's Finals pretty easily. I mean, they're extremely stacked full of talent. To me, Xsmithie actually did a lot better than I expected. He actually was above my expectations. When you look at this group, he's one of the weaker links. At the same point, his supportive jungle style, I think, is really what kept Team Liquid in a lot of these games. So I like the way Xsmithie played. I think overall the biggest issue for me was not necessarily himself being Impact, but the fact that Impact usually unlocks the map for Team Liquid. They're usually able to play around him really well, and the fact that he was against two arguably top three top laners in this group really shuts him down, and then it's got to come through bot lane, it's got to come through mid lane, and really Doublelift and CoreJJ did not offer that delivery as well as they needed to, and neither did Jensen. Yeah, there were leads here and there, but I feel like the macro play, especially around those two lanes and that bot side of the map, did not happen to the degree it needed to.
Yes, and thank you, chat, for the correction here. It is the second time that NA has not made it out of the group stage. Brain is thinking wishful thoughts, hoping that we were still tied with EU on that one, being the first time only. But no, instead, NA in its true NA fashion had to one-up the LEC by not making it out of groups for the second time. Ha! Take that, EU. Can't take that away from us until next year.
Both times did happen in Europe, by the way, which is very interesting. Okay, John, we are coming to the end of the show. We've gone quite a while here. I just want to quickly hit the quarterfinals, so we don't have to dive too deeply into the previews, but just your thoughts on the matchup briefly. Griffin, IG, who are you taking out and why?
Oh, that's going to be a hot matchup. I'm actually going to give it to IG here. I'm going to give it to IG. Defending champions, I think there's a great opportunity here. It is a best of five. I think IG will be able to take it. Griffin's going to put up a fight, though. I think this has the chance to go the distance.
Yeah, I'm going to take it the distance with IG as well. I'm going 3-2 IG. If it's day two Griffin that shows up, this could go very strong and very scary. In fact, Griffin could probably roll over them. If it's day one Griffin, IG comes out 3-1. I do think it goes the series, though. I think IG takes it in five just with that extra experience.
I do think this is probably the best quarterfinal matchup.
I would probably say that as well, though. There is one other that sticks out. Fun plus Phoenix up against Fnatic. I'm going to take Fnatic in this one 3-1.
I will agree with you on the winner and the prediction.
SK Telecom, Splice.
SK takes this. I think Splice is about to find out how easy they had it in group stage.
Yeah, unless they have some crazy troll pick, I think this is a quick 3-0 SKT. If that troll pick comes out, they catch Faker off guard, I think it could go 3-1. If anyone but SKT comes out of this, I would be stunned, though.
They're going to pull out the Morgana Blitzcrank bot lane. Calling it now.
Never again. This is the other series that I think could be really tight, and this is Damwon Gaming up against G2.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be your close second. Really, the last two we just highlighted, those are, like, there's no reason SK and Fnatic should lose those series. Griffin IG is going to be tight. Damwon and G2 is going to be tight also. Again, a lot of people letting Damwon fly under the radar because they came in through that play-in stage. Again, like you said, Joey, they're the third best team in the LCK. That is not something anybody should sleep on. G2 has been playing pretty well. Really no qualms with how they've been playing. They've been playing very, very tight, very together. Nothing too bad, but it's really, are they going to be able to mechanically keep up with Damwon Gaming? That's going to be the real question here. I'm going to have to give the edge to the LCK team, of course, unfortunately, just because that region is just OP as heck. So I'm going to give it to Damwon. I do think this goes, I want to say 3-2, but I have a feeling this goes 3-1 in favor of Damwon.
Okay, I'm going to take the opposite side, John. Hey, a little competition. Shocker. I'm going G2 in this one. I think they went out 3-2. I think it does go the distance. The difference maker for me, so I think when Damwon wins their games, it's going to come on the top side of the map. I think they're going to win that jungle advantage up there, and Noggery is going to body wonder in certain positions. With that being said, then you go to the bot side of the map. I think G2 has the advantage. Damwon's bot lane is not that impressive to me. Perk switching over to an ADC has been one of the best switches in esports, and the ability for him to do that within a year and still be at this level is absolutely amazing. I think G2 wins the bot lane. when it comes to mid lane, Showmaker's playing really well. Caps, you really get claps or you get craps, and you never know what's going to show up. I think Damwon wins two games on that alone. So when it comes down to it, I think the real pressure is going to come from the jungle. Where can Yanko's impact? Where can Canyon impact? Depending on how the jungle matchup plays out, I think that decides who wins game five. I am going to give the advantage to G2, though.
Do not look at Twitch chat. Don't look at Twitch chat. I don't want you to.
We'll see who ends up on top. I would like to mention I am in the top 1% of picks right now worldwide. I'm not the Baron. I'm the Elder Drake. The Elder Drake of picks. I believe Squirtle's right there with me, except his faith in Fnatic did not come through in his pick'ems. He ended up putting them in third. So Squirtle in chat, yeah, you hear me over there. We'll see if Fnatic lets you down or if you end up picking them to win the championship like I am most likely going to in the next stage of knockouts. We'll see. Oh, my dream before we end, I want Fnatic to beat FunPlus, which I predicted them being drawn with. Then I want them to go on and face IG, the person that took them down in the world stage. I would not be surprised if IG slaps them again, like 3-1. But I would love to see Fnatic get revenge there and then end up against SK Telecom or G2 in the finals. G2 going for their Grand Slam. Frostcurrent mentioned it as well. I would love for them to go five games and Fnatic to deny G2 that Grand Slam and get that final laugh. But I would also love to see them go up against SK Telecom, that matchup we all wanted in 2015 that never came to fruition because Fnatic decided not to sleep before the semifinals match, which is dumb, and I will not get into that right now. But I'm excited. I think this is going to be a great world. Like I said, I think every team here really belongs, except maybe you can argue Splice is not the best for that eighth seed. At the same point, I think we have a really talented pool here. I think quarterfinals is going to be very exciting, and we have great League of Legends action coming this weekend.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and the show. Joey, where else can Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream this show regularly on Twitch as well. Monday nights around 7:15 is when we go live. Check it out, twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.
Level up.